Coming back, we're going to talk about the sore losers. Pick it up.
We have the sore losers. You know, when we first started doing this podcast, this was on my very short list of movies that I knew I had to do. You know, there was like some, you know, stuff like Freaked, Terror Vision, and this that I just knew in my heart I had to share with the world. The movie is from 1997. I saw it when I was in high school, back before the interwebs, back when finding stuff like this was immensely hard, and you had to find a tiny little video store in your neighborhood that you never knew existed. Which is exactly how it happened with me. Apparently there was this little mom-and-pop video store like down the street from my house for years and years and years that I had no idea about because it didn't have a sign. And once I started going there, it closed about 3 months later, which was a total bummer. But one of the things that came out of that was this movie. I found it, rented it on VHS, and totally fell in love with it. And, you know, I continue to love it to this day. It's a movie that not a lot of people that I talk to have heard of, so I try to push it on people all the time. I just want so many people to love it because I think it's, you know, really cool and really different and so on and such. But getting to the movie itself, it's directed by John Michael McCarthy, who is a filmmaker from somewhere, Memphis, Tennessee. And he wrote and directed this, and he put a bunch of cool people into it. Jack Oblivion from the band The Oblivions, Mike Maker from The Makers, Nudie Cutie, Delana Tennell, and a bunch of other cool people into this movie. It's kind of hard to explain what happens in this movie. Jack Oblivion plays a fellow named Blackie, who is an immortal from another world or another dimension, some such like this. In the 50s, he was sent to Earth to kill 12 people. He only killed 9 or 10, and as such was branded a loser. So one day he escapes, comes back to Earth to finish the job, meets up with some of his old buddies, Mike, namely, who is living out his days in a cool old shack with suicide girl nurses. And, you know, he gets back together with his crew and decides to kill the last couple of people. That way he can return and people won't think he's a loser anymore. That's basically sort of the story without getting into the weirdness of it. He also meets up with a girl named Corinne, who's a hermaphrodite and has a car that responds to her whistles. She likes to go around killing hippies. They meet up with Delana, who is an Amazon, who has these cool powers of lifting up motorcycles, and so on and such. I'm a little flustered because this is like one of my favorite movies, and I'm finally talking about it, so I want to say a billion things about it all at once. But so I wanted to do this on the show. I meant to do it like on episode 2 or something, and I've been building it up so much to Mark and Kevin that they probably hate it by now. I've been telling them that this is the best movie ever for, you know, a year or something. I'm always like, we'll do Sore Losers next time. We'll do it next time. You're going to love it. It's going to be the best movie ever. After building it up so much, they probably think that it sucks badly. Yeah, so how do you guys feel about this movie?
I think this movie sucked badly. I'm just kidding. I thought this movie was totally awesome. I had been hearing about it from you pretty much exclusively since we started this podcast. And even though you'd been talking about it and, you know, you sent us the DVDs and stuff, I still didn't really know anything about it. And then you sent us the soundtrack the other day, and I didn't want to listen to it before I saw the movie. So I watched it today, and I thought it was great. I really liked how, you know, I liked how weird it was. I liked the sets and the effects, and I thought it was pretty excellent, and it made me wish that I had seen it when I was in high school. But yeah, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I mean, this movie's kind of weird because I'm surprised that I hadn't heard or seen this before, because I am a big fan of both the bands The Oblivions and Guitar Wolf. I've seen Guitar Wolf's kind of main feature, Wild Zero, which we'll probably have to cover at some point on this show as well. But yeah, I was really surprised that I hadn't seen this. This is really, I mean, it's kind of dripping with that garage rock, rockabilly aesthetic. They really want you to know that they're into 50s culture and Betty Page haircuts and, you know, all that typical kind of rockabilly aesthetic. It's, you know, they read a lot of weird, you know, old sci-fi and horror comics throughout it. You know, they really are pouring on the aesthetic with this movie. But overall, I thought it was really cool. You know, there was a lot of really cool stuff done with the camera work and the colors and the costumes that they used. There was a lot of really interesting set design and costume design. And, you know, just everything about it was really in your face. There were parts that kind of dragged a little bit just because it was so weird. You kind of started, at least for me, I kind of started to lose interest at some points. But nevertheless, it always brought me back in with, you know, some crazy awesome music or some boobs or something to snap me back into it. It was weird, though. I feel like this was kind of a labor of love. Obviously, this wasn't a big studio feature, but because of that, I think there's a lot of times where there's varying degrees of quality of this film, either both in the film stock itself, where it goes from looking very crisp and professional, and some parts it looks like it was shot on VHS home video. You know, same goes for the audio and the acting and the overdubbing. You know, it just varies from scene to scene. Sometimes it looks great, sometimes it looks pretty dodgy, but for the most part, I thought this was an entertaining movie, and great music, great soundtrack. I loved the music, and I mean, this is the kind of music that I'm really into, so I thought that was great, and just super weird. I mean, it's just one of these crazy movies where, you know, it just progressively gets weirder and weirder as you go through, but nevertheless, always entertaining. So yeah, I thought it was a good time.
Swell. I'm glad you guys like it. I had a hunch that you might. But yeah, this movie, talking about the soundtrack, I actually heard the soundtrack before I saw the movie. I was at Gem City Records in Dayton, RIP, and found this, but I didn't find it in the soundtrack section. I just found it in the normal rock section. I guess whoever came across it who worked there just thought that there was a band called The Sore Losers. And I picked it up because the cover art for it is cool. And so I was like, well, I'm going to listen to this band, The Sore Losers, and I'm going to like them because the cover art is cool. And that's how we did things back in the day, youngsters. But yeah, so, you know, I got it, brought it home, and looked in the liner notes, realized it was a movie, and we didn't have the internet, like I said, so couldn't find that movie. But then I stumbled upon it at that cool mom and pop store, and I'm totally glad I did. But the soundtrack is insane. Like, it's not usually my cup of tea to listen to these garage rocky type bands, but every single song on the soundtrack is insanely good, and the music just adds like so much more depth to this movie. Like, if it was just like a normal, you know, score or something, this movie would be 10 points less cool.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I would agree with that for sure. I mean, it's another one of those movies where it's just all the pieces fit and make this movie as awesome as it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of it, there were various times throughout the movie where certain scenes, they felt almost like music videos in some respects. I mean, it's, you know, while it was kind of a cohesive story, it was far from coherent at a lot of places, and there was a lot of scenes where it felt kind of just like you could take these little vignettes, like little clips here and there, and just turn them into like a music video. But, you know, for the most part, I thought, you know, it all worked really well. There's a lot of allusions to killing hippies, which I found hilarious. and tons of nudity. Lots of boobs coming out in this movie.
Yeah, totally. That's when I was like 17 and first saw this movie. I was like, holy crap, a movie with boobs.
Yeah.
That's kind of what got me into it at first. And then after like 30 viewings, I was like, wait a minute, this is a good movie.
Right.
But yeah, it, you know, like you said, it does kind of drag. There's scenes that kind of go nowhere except for weird, which is something that I don't care for, as we've talked about.
Right.
and but, you know, I think mostly it's all together there and good. There's also some scenes that drag, not because they're so weird, you know, for weirdness sake, but because you can't hear what people are saying. Like, I think in an ideal world, somebody would get together and redo the audio for this entire movie, because there's a few scenes where it's just like, and that's all you can really hear. In fact, there's this one scene that takes place near the beginning of the movie where they just redo the voices all together. It's a pretty short thing.
Yeah.
But, you can tell it's like two totally different people.
Totally.
yeah. But that scene I really enjoy. There's Blackie goes into this old timey shop and he's looking through the comic books and he's like, hey, where's all the, you know, Tales from the Crypt and Vault of Horror and stuff. And this old timer's all, they don't have that anymore, you know. That's old school stuff, and the government put him out of business. And Blackie gets all mad. He pushes down the comic books. The old timer threatens to open up some Mississippi whoop-ass on him. Blackie takes an issue of Hate comic and stuffs it down the guy's throat, which I find charming because Hate's probably one of my favorite comics. And I like Buddy Bradley a great deal. So I've always liked that scene. Also, killing a person with a Hate comic could probably be described as a hate crime. And I think that's very funny.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting uses of comic books in this movie. There's the you know, as you mentioned, the killing somebody with a comic book and stuffing down the throat, and then later a woman masturbates with a comic book, which is also interesting in its own way.
Comic books used to be really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that this started and ended with quotes from the Comics Code as well.
Yeah, I thought that was a cool
touch.
That's
cool.
Yeah, I feel like that was kind of their basis. I mean, obviously there was a lot of, you know, they're paying homage in a lot of ways to the classic comic books, and I felt that was kind of like the basis of this whole story with the, you know, the time traveling and the aliens and all that stuff. And then they kind of layered that with, you know, kind of the garage rock, rockabilly aesthetic, and then just some good old fashioned weirdness, and just kind of put it into a blender and saw what happened. But yeah, I mean, like I said, don't go into this movie expecting like a cohesive story with a start and a finish that you're going to really like be gripped by. I think that's kind of not the point. I think just watching this movie and enjoying the weirdness, kind of enjoying the music and, you know, just taking it for the visual ride that it is probably the best way to jump into this one.
Indeed so. Also, if you can watch this movie, you're very lucky because it's hard to find. The director, it's not up on his website. Pretty much none of his movies are. I don't think many of his movies are in print or available at all, which is a shame. There's a few different versions of this on Amazon. I think the one that's just this movie by itself doesn't work, from what I've heard, that if you watch it like halfway through, it just stops for some reason. I have a really cool version of this that came in like a 4-pack with like Witchcraft Part 10, Witchcraft Part 11, and The Strangers. I have yet to watch the other three movies, but it's called Hotter Than Hell, and it's like $2 on Amazon. So if you're going to find this movie, that's probably the way to go, because otherwise it's pretty impossible, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, I did want to mention, there's a scene where we first meet Mike, who's like a real cool kind of a guy, and he's hanging out with the aforementioned suicide girl nurse, and to show his disdain for the nurse, he rips open her shirt, which... I think we all know that I like a great deal. I think it's the toughest thing you can do to somebody is rip their shirt off.
Absolutely.
I'm going to have to start keeping track of all the movies this happens in.
Yeah, probably a lot.
But yeah, so that's The Sore Losers. We're going to take a quick break.